listening to the weekend edition of Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. We're currently spending our weekends together covering the book of James. This will be a great study on practical Christian living. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to worship with us, we have service times and directions available on our church's website at calvarychapelkc.com. You can also call the church office at 913-681-1635. Now, let's join Pastor Jim in today's study.
Let love continue. Remember, we talked about that out of Hebrews. Let love continue. Let it flow. I like how this is tying together for us. I think the Lord's ministering to us about some good things as a body and our role within our community and within our metropolitan area about loving our neighbor as ourselves. You do well, but if you show partiality, verse 9, you commit sin or are convicted by the law's transgressors. In other words, you can't pick and choose, you see, which laws are for you because they come naturally to you. And this is what he's addressing. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible's clear. But man, I'm so thankful that I'm not condemned by any of that. That's a truth. But I'm in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so are you as believers tonight. Isn't that exciting? Man, we're in the grace of the Lord. We're forgiven. We're washed. We're cleansed. Isn't that great, man? What a blessing it is to know that, to have that truth be ours. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. For he who has said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. In other words, the law is one, even though there were different segments in it. The law is one because the law comes from one. God is one. And, you know, he's not compartmentalized. In other words, well, because the Bible says sin is sin, and sin separates us from our God. And so we can't differentiate between them in that sense. And I see that as a concern even in our society. Pardon me. I see that as a little bit of a concern. Because we can reach out and we can touch certain people, but there's other groups of people who say, no, they're just too far gone. Well, thank God Pastor Chuck didn't do that, huh? You know, thank the Lord that, you know, they're during, those are the most, as far as society goes, they were the people, you know, during that time period, the hippies and the whole counterculture movement, that was just totally a rejected part of our society, you know, and I remember it. I mean, I remember it very well. And the discussions around the dinner table regarding all of it and, you know, get a haircut and everything else that went with it during that time period. Interesting, you know, and yet you can miss it because you can be judging that, you see. But Pastor Chuck, one of the things that he said, and it was one of the, and my heart is for this, you know, because I think it's timeless. I think it's always relevant. This statement that he made is always relevant, and this is the way I believe in my heart from the heart of God, is that he said, well, simply stated, we accepted them. And they accepted Jesus. And the rest is history. Literally. We accepted them. In other words, we accepted those in our society that were less acceptable. You know, we reached out and we just accepted them. That's where you're at. Now, God doesn't want to leave you there. That's where you're at. But God doesn't want to leave you there. And just loved them. And in so doing, reached a segment of society. And possibly God had his hand in a powerful way of really being at the point of a radical revival that spread across the United States, actually, through the Jesus People movement during the late 60s and early 70s. And we're still in that same flow of God's grace, and we're just watching and wanting to continue to see and just an outpouring of God's Spirit. But this is the thing that's so important, is that is the heart of God. We can't, there's some things that are negotiable, okay? You know, the color of our fabric on our chairs is all negotiable. There's certain things that are negotiable, the type of building we're in and, you know, the way our you know, flyer looks for stuff, and, you know, that's all negotiable. But there's certain things that aren't negotiable. The tenets of our faith as Christians, that's not negotiable. And there's certain other things that aren't negotiable. And I think that is part of the heart of God is not negotiable. We want to represent the heart of God. And that's really what James is talking about here. Let's represent it with the love of God. You know, and just be right with the Lord in that sense and reach out. And who? What does that mean? That means segments of our society that we might have trouble connecting with because it's so distant from what we would understand maybe. Man, God's called us to be at least open to that. I'm not talking about condoning sin. If you're, don't misunderstand me. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what the Bible's saying. I'm talking about, man, reaching out and with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the heart and the love of God. Isn't that what it's about? We accepted them and they accepted Jesus. Radical concept. I've seen it happen. We watched this happen south of here when we first got out here. We just really spent a lot. I mean, our congregation was primarily people 19 and thereabouts, you know? It was just all really, really young people, you know? And that was my heart. I used to wander around and hang out at all the pool halls up and down Main Street in Joplin, Missouri at 2 in the morning up until about 2 or 3, between 2 and 3 o'clock on Friday nights in the middle of the night. Actually, it turned out to be Saturday morning, but we'd just wander around, just talking with young people, just interacting. I'd want to find out what they were doing, what was going on. And the whole thing was, it was the same premise. Well, I have the same heart. This is what my heart is. I just want to continue to reach out and to touch people. I don't care what anybody's background is. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you are a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that radical? That's what we've all experienced. That's what we share together. So we can't ridicule or pick and choose. We got to just let the Lord do it. I think it's awesome, man. I really love the heart of God in that. Verse 12, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy for the one who has shown no mercy, but mercy triumphs over judgment. We talked about that fairly in depth as far as the heart of God and when it's dangerous for us to get caught up in that being critical and judgmental because mercy has triumphed over judgment. You know, and I know deep down in our hearts that we're sinners. And it's not our heart, it's not our desire to live a life of sin. I understand because that's what, 1 John talks about. You know, when he's writing, he's in that little letter there, he's talking about, hey man, when it talks about that you sin no more, the intent of the language is that you do not practice sin, that sin is not the manner of your focus of life, right? No, we miss the mark. We sin. It happens to all of us. But I don't run up a flag and start sounding the horn and saying, I want judgment. I don't think you do either. We say, man, be merciful upon me, God. I'm a sinner. And you know, when it happens like that, isn't it humbling? Because sometimes you start riding around on your high horse and you got it all figured out, and then all of a sudden, boom, the Lord brings something right in your path, man. Bam, right like that. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Now I remember what this is all about, Isn't it great? But that's what's the safety inside the body. That should be our safety, is the reality that it's about God's grace. It's about taking chances with one another in the Lord, saying, hey, I believe in God in you. I'm into that. I'm on for that. Not foolishly, not irresponsibly in that sense, but I believe in God in people's lives. I trust Jesus Christ in people's lives. And sometimes that's going to go south a little bit. Not Jesus, but people, And it's going to happen. That's going to happen, but that's okay. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Another thing that has always stuck in my mind, another thing that was said by Pastor Chuck, that is he's always told us, when we get together at the conferences for, year. I mean, I used to go to the conference when there's a couple hundred Calvary pastors. Now there's 1,000 something, around. So it goes back far enough now for me that I can remember, I thought there was an overwhelming group then. Now I just walk around in a sea of people, But, he used to say that, it's better to err, if you're going to err on the side of mercy. Because I'd rather make a mistake being merciful with somebody than judging people, than making a bad judgment call on them. Isn't that cool? Man, I want people to be merciful with me. I think that's what you want. I think that's going to be fulfilling that law of liberty, you know, loving people. And that's the way I want it. Because, man, when we're inside these four walls, when we're inside the body of Christ, whether no matter where our four walls are, when we're inside the family of God, when we're with the family, man, that's the way it should be. We should be able to be ourselves. We should be able to be accepted for who we are in the Lord because we believe in Him. That means we're going to be challenged sometimes. Sometimes somebody will say, hey, man, I think you're a little skewed on this. Where are you coming from? And you're going to be challenged. That doesn't have to be unloving. That can be just a challenge. You know, provoking one another to good works. Challenging one another to move forward. So it's good. As we go on, we start talking, and now in verse 14, he kind of picks up this idea. In the same thought, though, of what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? This idea is, simply stated, is that faith, true faith, if I really believe something, if I really believe, it's going to produce some kind of action within my life. I've often used that example, and it'll just be redundant, I understand. But, you know, if all of a sudden the tornado sirens go off, it's a little bit of dark clouds in the sky, we're going to be under the understanding, because we've been trained this way, to believe that there's a potential imminent danger. There's a tornado coming. Now, if I believe there's a tornado coming, I'm not going to be standing here for long. There's a lot of glass around us. There's not, you know, if I believe that's going to happen, I'm not going to be encouraging you to sit right here. We're going to go seek shelter, not in our storm shelter. We will have to go into our bathrooms here. Those who don't fit in there, I don't know what's going to happen to you, but we'll go to the inner part of the building, and that's what we're going to do. Go maybe in the prayer room. That would be a good place. Actually, it really is. I'm giving you good ideas here. That really is a good place to go. It's all block around it. So that's pretty much the bathrooms, and that's probably our best bet. The point I'm making is if I believe that, I'm going to take action on it. I'm going to do something with what I believe. That's what James is saying. Saying if you really believe this, you're going to do something with it. And if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. It's dead orthodoxy can happen. Think about what is dead orthodoxy. Orthodox teaching, what they're teaching is correct in its orthodoxy. It's not skewed. It's not off base. They're teaching something that is biblically sound. Why would it be dead orthodoxy then? Because there's no empowering of the power of the Spirit of God to follow through with what they've been taught. This is what I love about going through the Word and believing in the power of the Holy Spirit, believing that the gifts are for today, believing that God is still moving, that acts is still in motion. I believe all that and so live that way. I walk in that light. That's the way I live my life. I don't question it. I don't think about it. I'm not stumbled by it. I'm not. The gifts, the point is we need the power of the Spirit to be the witness that we've been called to be. He said, wait there in Jerusalem till the Spirit comes upon you, till you've been empowered. Why? Because we need the power of the Spirit, because he says, I've called you to be witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts. But wait, you need the empowering of the Spirit. In other words, if I don't believe that in the power of the Holy Spirit, then what I've got is dead orthodoxy. I've got the truth, but no power to walk in it. I need both. I need the truth, and I need the ability to walk in it. Now, I can't have that in and of myself because I don't contain that unless Jesus Christ is activated and I'm acknowledging that God can do it. What does he say? Reckon the old man to be dead. That's that position of faith. Acknowledging that I am no longer bound to, well, that's just the way I am. No, my wife doesn't buy that anymore. She's been sitting in the Bible studies too long. She doesn't buy it anymore. You teach it, you live it, Jim. You know? You see, that excuse is gone. It's gone for me, brothers and sisters. I'm a man without excuse. I just have to say I've sinned. I missed the mark, you know? Confess it and move on. The whole point of what I'm sharing with you, she's not here tonight, so it's okay. Whole ride home, it's okay. Until she gets a CD, then I have a couple ride homes I'll have to endure. But the whole idea, the beauty of it, man, is what God's done for us in the gospel. That, man, he's done this for us, and we can walk in it. And we need to understand that it's something that's activated in our lives. That, man, I can reckon the old sin nature to be dead. I'm not bound to respond to it anymore. I can say no to the sin nature. I can reject it. I'm not obliged to follow through in it. Isn't that awesome? I can reject. I'm not bound to it anymore because it's gone. It's been killed. Now, does it want to rear its ugly head? Oh, all the time. But I'm not bound to respond. Isn't that cool? That's the power of the resurrection. Not bound to respond. God help us, man. God help me. I pray for the Lord Jesus Christ each day to keep activated in my life and keep that in the forefront of my mind, because you can just miss it. It's so easy. You get caught up in the moment of all kinds of turmoilish things happening around you, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're off in the flesh with it, you know? I think some of you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's the human condition, but man, we don't want to glorify that. We want to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, who through the power of the cross and the resurrection, and then through the giving us of his Holy Spirit, I'm no longer bound to that sin nature. Oh, I thank God for that. I thank God for that. And how many of you know exactly what I'm saying? Sometimes you only get a split second, just a fraction of a moment of time where you know that you know that you know, ooh, I can go this way or this way with this. I can go ahead and say this, and I know how that's gonna trigger something over here, but I just got to do it, you know. No, I don't have to do it. I can reject that. You see what I'm saying? That split-second thing, you know. I know if I stop by over here, I know what they're doing. I can stop by. I really just want to say hi. No, you really just want to party with them a little bit. You see what I mean? No, I don't have to stop. See? I'm not obligated to do that. Well, my whole career is hinged on whether I have this five martini lunch with these guys. No, you're not. You're not bound to that. God's bigger than that. God's a lot bigger than that, man. You're not bound to it. Isn't that great? We're not bound to it. So awesome. Let's go on. So thus, also faith by itself, if it doesn't have works, is dead. We don't want to have that idea of saying we believe something, but there's nothing there to it. There's nothing backing it. You know, we want to know that our dollar bills have something backing it, right? We unearth all this money and we open this chest and it's all this money. Wow. You know, this is Confederate money. It's backed by a zero, you know? There's nothing backing it. But see, our faith, when we do things, the things that we're doing are acknowledging the reality of who he is within us. Isn't that cool? It's God in us. It's God in us that's doing it. So you and I do good works. We're not saved by those good works. They just endorse. It just is a revealing of who God is in and through your life. That's wonderful to know. Some of the things that we found when we were going through Hebrews, we kind of talked about this. And we talked about not relying, and James is kind of going down the same road, not relying on that idea of a lawful relationship, you know, where it's just there's do's and don'ts, and I don't do this, and I do this, and, you know, being stuck on this. But man, no way. We want to stay in the simplicity of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's all based, as we've been speaking, on that finished work of the cross. And in the sense, and just so you theologically, you know, one of the things I want to say about that word theology, it's just study of God, you know, our understanding of God, the study of God, understanding of who he is. Right theology, this is something that was driven into my head. Right theology, you just put an equal sign in your mind after it. Right theology equals right living. You get a little bit skewed in your theology, your life's going to start getting skewed. We want to have right theology. We're not walking around like, we're the right ones. That's not where I'm going with this. I'm saying we want to have a right understanding of the heart of God. That's why we went right back. But when we started to go back and let's, what did Jesus say about what's his heart? Well, his heart is that we're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be Christians and have a servant's mentality, a servant's heart in it. And this idea here of the finished work, we talk about a theological understanding of this, is that the in just the cross, in terms of redemption, you know, it was a finished work. I understand that. You understand. It's done. Once and for all, it's done. As we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's it. Redemption is sealed. It's done. That's a finished work, as we're reliant upon the finished work of the cross. But does that mean that there's nothing else for us to do? Is that it? Is that, you know, redemption and I'm saved and that's it. I came forward. I raised my hand, whatever. I received Jesus Christ in my heart. That's it. I'm a Christian. Yes. But is that all there is to the Christian experience? There's no way. We know better than that, right? We know that for sure. So faith in action, you know, as we think about it in Acts chapter 1, and this is what Luke recorded for us. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he had also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times of the seasons of the Father, which he has put in his own authority." Now, back to the main point. They just kind of got sidetracked. Now he's back to the main point. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You should be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." What did he start out saying? All that Jesus began both to do and to teach. That was the beginning. Now he's going to go on and start talking about what has happened subsequently. Since he's been resurrected, since he went to the Father, since he sought that the Spirit would be sent to us, then what has happened? And I believe this gets repeated over and over and over again as we submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and we let His Spirit move in and through our lives. We start seeing acts just go keep happening over and over and over again. That's why Acts, to understand the book of Acts and to really embrace it and to see it's the Holy Spirit leading the church. Jesus Christ is the head. There's no confusion about that at all. But the Holy Spirit is giving guidance and direction, leading the church. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. I know as you've been listening to the Word today that God may very well be speaking to many of you. And maybe some of you just need to come back to the Lord. Maybe some of you need to give your life to the Lord who've never given your lives to the Lord. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, Jesus said that calling out to those who are burdened with the things of life. And Jesus wants us to come alongside with him. He is gentle and lowly in heart. And that's where we're going to really find rest for our souls. It's a simple prayer of faith, and I just want to pray this simple prayer along with you. So if you just want to pray this, whether you're driving or whether you're sitting at home or wherever you are, you might be in your office, you might have this coming on through your earbuds, but the Lord wants to make himself known to you and for you to have a personal relationship with him. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a personal relationship, and it starts by just saying yes to Jesus and giving your life to him. "Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I want to give my life to you. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I want to cast all my cares upon you, knowing that you care for me.
And I know that, Lord, I feel weighted down and burdened by the things of this life, and I just want to have that newness of life. And so I ask that you'd come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior into my heart, and I ask that you would just continue that work that you've begun in my life right now. And I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Living Fountains Weekend Edition. If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart and now call Him your Savior, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at calvarychapelkc.com or through our Facebook by searching for Calvary Chapel KC and liking our page. More info about our church and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com, or you can also contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great today spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus,